I joined the insanity of the crowds at the department stores on Friday, as I do every year, it seems. I guess I get kicked in the head or something. I must be stupid. To go out to the department stores to struggle and to fight and to stand in lines that are 10 light years long, hoping to buy stupid little Pokemon presents for my nephew. Last year it was Furby. This year it's Pokemon. I shouldn't have gone into the ministry. I should have gone into marketing. Nevertheless, it was an insane year of shopping. I'm not done. I'm not even halfway done. I'm not even quarter done. In fact, I've only gotten a couple of presents, and I have a whole lot left to go. In fact, I cannot believe that we're almost out of the month of November. I cannot believe that we're almost into December. I cannot believe we only got 5 weeks left to go in 1999. I cannot believe that this year is almost over with. Somebody must have stolen one of our months. 30, 40, 60 days, couple of months, must have been stolen somewhere around September. It seems like somewhere in September or October or August, somewhere in there, somebody stole one of our months. It can't possibly be almost the end of 1999, can it? I see some people shaking their heads. And yet, it is. I looked at my calendar this morning and realized, yeah, it's the first Sunday of Advent. I almost forgot Advent candles. I had to make a special trip to Cokesbury Bookstore on Friday from the Galleria over in Dallas to get Advent candles. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had them this morning. It crept up on me. This whole year has crept by. Mother used to say about my dad, especially when he was doing anything, she'd say, he's just as slow as Christmas. That used to have a lot of meaning, but not anymore. I just finished buying for last Christmas. I just finished paying for last Christmas. I think that's the truth. Nevertheless, it just seems like I just finished Christmas. And here we are again with yet another Christmas to get ready for. With another end of the year to get ready for. And this isn't no ordinary year, is it? It's 1999. And in just a month and a few days, we'll celebrate the end of not just the 90s and not just the 20th century, the whole millennium. What was going on 1,000 years ago? Nightline had a very interesting program on, I think it was Friday night, about what was going on in the year 999. We don't normally think about that. That's 1,000 years ago. That's a long time ago. But things were going on, and we have records of those events. And there was debates between historians who deal with this period of time, as to whether or not the people realized what a momentous time it was going from the year 999 to 1,000. And something in me just says, oh, dummy, of course it was momentous. They added an extra digit. We think it's awful going from Y1K to Y2K. And our stupid computers don't know it's going to be the year 2000, not the year 1900. Well, these people had to add an extra digit, a fourth digit, to dates that had always had three. That's not some little event. Now, it's true, not everybody was educated. In fact, most people could not read or write. But look who was educated. The priest. And the bishops and the hierarchy of the church, the monks to whom we owe a great debt of gratitude for having our Bibles, because they copied them again and again and again throughout all the centuries of the church to make sure that we would have copies of them today. The monks could read and write, the priests could read and write, the bishops could read and write, the political powers, the kings and the princes and their advisors, the queens and the princesses and their advisors, the royalty of every nation, they could read and write. The merchantmen and women, the people who were involved in commerce at a high level, who were involved in shipping and transport, these people had to be able to read and write too. So you had three basic classes of people. You had the rulers, you had the moneymakers, and you had the priests and monks. They all could read and write. And the priests and monks, They knew what year it was. They very well knew what year it was. And all the writing that we have from this period tells us that the people who knew what year it was were worried about it. Now, granted, your average Joe and Jane blow out in the street, they didn't know. They might have heard a little bit of rumbling about fear at the upper echelons of their government and fear in the churches that Jesus was going to come again. And they may have noticed that in the sermons and in the teachings that they were receiving at that time, that the messages were heavily about repentance for the end of the world was coming. But they didn't know that it was going from the year 999 to the year 1000. But the monks knew, and the priests knew, and the bishops knew, and the theologians knew. You see, this may be hard for us to get our minds around today. But 1,000 years ago, they believed they were living in the millennium. We think that many Christians, not all of us, but many Christians today think the millennium is yet to come. The 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth is yet to come. But the church in the year 999 believed they were coming to the end of the millennium. But the church is 1,000 years on earth after the life of Jesus was the millennium. And what does that mean? That means that Satan would be released on the earth, and there'd be a great war, and God would destroy Satan and throw him into the lake of fire, and then God would create a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, the end of all the order of the age. All the kingdoms, all the princes and princesses and the kings and queens, all the governments would become subservient to Christ, as Jesus would create a new heaven and a new earth. And so we have treatises by monks and priests and bishops about how the kings and the queens needed to get themselves right with God and right with the bishops and right with the Pope in Rome so that they would be able to enter into the new heaven and the new earth, having lived under the divine right of kings in the kingdom of God on earth. Get your mind around this. In the year 999, they had had almost 1,000 years of Christendom, 1,000 years of the church, the millennium. They believed they were living in it. Many Christians today think that's yet to come. The concept of the rapture, you hear it all the time, wasn't invented until the 1800s, my friends. It's a brand new theological idea. The idea of it yet to come, that was foreign to them 1,000 years ago. They were living in the millennium, and they were expecting the immediate end at January the 1st. So what happened? If you look at the history, if you look at the writings of the monks and the priests and the bishops and their sermons that survived from the year 1000 A.D., you find it very fascinating. In the late 900s, in 999, 998, and 997, there were many sermons about how you should get yourself right with God because Jesus was coming to destroy all evil. And the kingdoms of the world were to become right with God because they were going to enter into the new heaven and the new earth. And all the wrongs were going to be righted. That was an important message that survives in the writings to today. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The call for people to get right with God because Jesus is going to come again. And then what happened? The year 1000 rolled around. And everything continued on pretty much the same as it always had. And the people said, what happened? The bishops, the theologians, they were all asked by the princes and the kings, what happened? They were all asked by the merchantmen who had been giving up tons of money to the poor, what happened? Why isn't the kingdom of God been established yet? And it took over 150 to 250 years for them to think about and theologize about and try to articulate why it didn't happen they thought it would happen the way they thought it would. It was a troubling time in the church. If you look at Europe in the late first millennium, you see that there was a quieting down as people were getting ready for this new heaven and new earth. And then right after the year 1000, there was church fights. The church split east and west. The Orthodox broke off from Rome. There were great invasions, including a major invasion into England, the Norman invasion. There were incredible wars that were launched in Europe at that point in time. Not that there hadn't been wars before, but now there were some really big ones. And in fact, everything about Europe and America today can be traced back to the explosion that occurred after the turn of the first millennium. The explosion in thought, the explosion in expectation, the explosion of theological reinterpretation and searching of the scripture to try to figure out where the church had gone wrong and thinking that they were living in the millennium. Most theologians, persisted in saying, we were right, but we were wrong in limiting the millennium to 1,000 years. Instead, the millennium is a metaphor for the church age, and it can be as long as God wants it to be. But there were other people who were saying, no, we're not in the millennium yet. And over a long period of time, all the way up into the 1800s, they started to develop this idea about how we were getting ready for the millennium. And for the last 200 years, we've been expecting, many people have been expecting, the second coming of Christ and the institution of the millennium. This expectation is nothing new. That's the point of today's message. This message today is a very ancient message. The message that could have been preached 1,000 years ago. It's wild how much things change, how much they stay the same. This could have been preached 1,000 years ago. Jesus said, keep awake. Jesus said, no one will know, not even I know, Jesus said. But the Father knows. Jesus said, you're not going to know the precise hour, but you can pay attention to the signs around you. You can pay attention to the world around you. You can pay attention to the events around you. And that way you know when it's getting near. And it's been getting near for 2,000 years. And by faith we can proclaim that it will continue to get near until Jesus takes us home. And it may be all of us at once, or it may be the way it's been for the last 2,000 years, for another 2,000 years, one at a time. However it is, the message of God in the Holy Scriptures stays the same. Keep awake. Pay attention. Be aware of what's going on around you. For I will come at an unexpected moment. And that's true for each and every one of us. As the recent death of some church members and the numbers that we've lost this year have been sad and difficult for many of us, as we've lost dear friends, we know that God comes for us sometimes at a very unexpected moment. So we should be awake, ready, always. Not on January the 1st, 2000. I'm going to be in a party on January the 1st, 2000. You know, I expect that we'll have a whole lot of expectation over the next month. It'll be a big party. There'll be a lot of people who will be depressed after it's all over with. And then we'll have 25 years of peace. And then we start approaching the one that has me a little bit nervous, and that's the 2000th anniversary of his death and resurrection in 2030. If anybody's going to set any date, that's the one they ought to set. I'm not setting any dates. I'm not. Point is, setting dates is not what we're supposed to be about. Celebrating the change, yeah. And being awake for the coming of our Savior for each and every one of us. That's what we should be about. And proclaiming the gospel message that Jesus loves everyone and calls everyone into His kingdom. You see, those theologians for the first 1,000 years were right about one thing. We are living in the kingdom of God. We're living in the kingdom of God in the church today. We've been living in it for 2,000 years. And if it's God's will, we'll live in it for 2,000 more. proclaiming the good news to all the world. I wonder what it'll be like in the year 2999. Will they be preaching about the coming of Jesus? After all, 3,000 years, 1,000 years for each person of the Trinity. I mean, you know, we could really go to town with this one. Good science fiction story. Maybe I can sell it to Outer Limits. Be that as it may, our calling is simple: to be the church, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live the gospel. Today, on December 31st, 1999, on January the 1st, 2000, and every year that follows. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us reaffirm our faith and our baptismal covenant today, if you will turn with me to page 50 in your hymnal. Page 50 in our hymnals. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins?